Welcome to Salon Talks. I'm Mary Elizabeth Williams. Harry and Sally, Bridget Jones and Mark Darcy, and now we have Marcus and Sasha. The Netflix feature Always Be My Maybe is already becoming a rom-com classic. Oh. And I say this as a rom-com expert. Randall Park here. I'm so happy to have you with me. He's the co-star, one of the co-writers and co-producers of this amazing film. He's an actor, he's a director, he's a writer, and of course, a rapper. We're going to talk about that. you go way back on that.
Gosh.
You know him from The Office, from Veep, from the cult classic IKEA Heights.
Whoa, that is a deep cut.
Deep cuts here. We only do deep cuts here at Salon. Trainwreck, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Aquaman, and of course, Fresh Off the Boat, which starts its sixth season this fall.
I can't believe it.
Sixth and maybe final? What's going to happen?
I don't know. I thought maybe that last season might be our final, we keep going.
We all kind of did, right? Were you ready to kind of call it a day with the show?
I was kind of prepared so that if it did end, I would have been fine. And if it didn't end, I'd be fine. I was just like ready for either. I didn't want to like be too heartbroken if it ended, but because there were other opportunities, but also if it kept going, great, because I get to work with these people again, and it's fun.
And one of the people, this show is so much a springboard for this movie.
Wouldn't have happened without the show.
Obviously, your director.
Yeah, Ninochka Khan.
Who we talked to last week here at Salon, and your co-star,
Ali Wong,
who you kind of helped bring up a little in the world. She started in the theater troupe that you co-founded.
Yes, at UCLA, I co-founded a theater company on campus, and an Asian American theater company. And after I graduated, Ali joined that company, and it was through those kind of mutual friends that we became friends.
And then she was a writer on the show for the first three seasons.
Three seasons. That's right.
So you said in an interview three years ago that this was a dream that you both had for a long time to do your own kind of When Harry Met Sally. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know you well, Randall, but I don't immediately peg you as a guy who fantasizes about writing a rom-com. I don't know. There was nothing in your prior history that would have led me to say that. Why that?
I love rom-coms. And When Harry Met Sally is probably my favorite movie of all time. I mean, I just love it so much. And I've always loved rom-coms. And it was something that we both loved, particularly When Harry Met Sally. And it was just something that we talked about here and there over the years. And it wasn't until kind of all the, timing was right that we were just like, let's do it.
And then when that interview came out 3 years ago, there was moment, like it feels like that kind of, once it was sort of out in the public, there was a demand for it.
Yeah. So Ali did this interview with The New Yorker, mentioned this thing that we had talked about just casually, and it made it into the publication, and all these online outlets picked it up, wrote these letters to Hollywood, make this movie, and we both got inundated with calls from studios, and they wanted to see the script, and we didn't have a script, but we were like, there's a demand. And we always wanted to do this. Let's get to it.
Let's just kind of do it. And in that same interview, I read it again recently, you talk about her and you talk about your relationship with her and how much you admire her. And you have played so many different roles. You've literally played Jim Halpert. You played Jim Halpert.
I did.
You've played a dictator. You've done it all.
A 90s Orlando dad of three.
And a dad. Like you've done all of these things. But you said the thing you learned from Ali Wong was she said you do you.
Yeah.
And this movie. Is you.
It's probably the closest thing to me that I've ever gotten to play.
There are a lot of elements of your life and your story in this guy.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so let's get with, like, first of all, the Corolla story.
The Corolla,
you've already put it out there.
So you read about that.
I'm not saying anything that is not common knowledge now.
Yeah, well, that was a, I don't even know, loosely based on, it was pretty accurately based on my losing virginity story.
Down to the Burger King.
Yes, but it wasn't a Burger King. It was a McDonald's in real life.
Okay. Wow.
See, which makes it very different.
It's those little touches that only a professional writer can really add to
right.
the story.
Right, that's a huge difference. But yeah, it was, you know, we were in the writer's room. We're trying to figure out, okay, what would be the way in which they have this kind of nightmare experience. And I was like, well, I had kind of a nightmare experience. And I told them the story, and they, you know, their eyes lit up. And Allie was like, we're putting that in.
It's like, there's just one thing we need to change about this to make it perfect. We're going to make it a McDonald's.
right, exactly. Right, we're going to make it a Burger King instead of a McDonald's. And now it's
And now we've got it done. And also your musical career.
Like, that's now, another thing that Allie was very privy to, because when I graduated college, me and a group of friends, we formed this this band that was very much like the one you see in the movie, except, you know, we were younger, and Allie would come to the shows, and we had a little bit of a following in LA, and, you know, we were doing it for fun, so eventually we kind of stopped and went on with our lives. But the band in the movie is kind of like, what if that band kept playing well into their adulthood? And we'd probably be just like a Hello Peril.
Yeah, and you do know that there are that the videos of you guys are out there on YouTube.
I do know.
They're
adorable. We made a couple.
They're adorable.
Yeah, yeah.
They are just. I went down the rabbit hole yesterday. It's just really sweet.
It was. You know, I mean, we were out of college. We, you know, just were all broke, and we didn't care, you know, we had no thought of, you know, I don't even think I was pursuing professional acting at that time. I was just having fun with my friends, not thinking about the future, and then pretty soon after, I started to think about my future.
Yeah, because eventually those student loans catch up with all of us.
Oh my gosh, that's a whole nother story.
You probably just paid them off, right?
Too long ago.
Just sent in that last
I stopped paying them. I was like, I can't pay them. I'm gonna stop. And nothing happened for years. And I was like, oh my God, I got away with it. And then I was working this part-time job, and I get my paycheck, and half the check was gone.
They found you.
They found me. And I was like, okay, I got to start paying
off. Student loans will always find you.
Yes, they do.
They will always. If you could get the student, maybe this is a joke that someone has already said, but if you could get the student loan people to go after, like, the FBI's 10 most wanted.
Oh, they will go after them.
I feel like then we could really solve a lot of crimes.
Oh, for sure.
That's a TV show idea. Now I have to go right. So let's talk about, I want to know more about this film itself, because it's just so glorious, and in so many ways is just ticks all of your classic rom-com boxes. Just the way that is shot, the arc of it, the like the dramatic speech moment that every rom-com absolutely should have.
We have two of them, really.
You have two good ones. But it's one. Also like it's hella feminist. Yeah. It's really a feminist movie, and it's also very much obviously about race and about culture and about identity. And the other big heart of this movie is about these characters finding themselves and really defining themselves.
Wow.
And that's
amazing to hear.
Well, it's cool, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, that's obviously extremely intentional.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet, what, 5 years ago, a show like Fresh Off the Boat was a risk.
I didn't think we'd make it past the pilot. I like genuinely thought we'd do the pilot, it would be fun, and an amazing experience, because how groundbreaking just doing a pilot about an Asian American family. And then it got picked up the series, and then I was like, oh great, one season of this show. That's amazing and groundbreaking. And then I got another season and then 100 episodes. And it just did so much for so many people, and including myself. And again, this movie wouldn't have happened without it. My relationship with Notch wouldn't have happened. I owe so much to the show.
And it's it feels like when I talked to Notch last week, she was talking about how there is a real intention in everything she does and everything she wants to do now as someone who has a platform.
Yeah.
For diversity, for elevating other voices, for making sure that different kinds of stories are told. Now, you as a writer, as a producer, is that an important imperative for you as well now?
For sure, for sure. I mean, it kind of has always been. I came from an Asian American studies background. I wanted to be an actor because of that, you know, I wanted to go out there and represent. I didn't realize how little power I'd have in that as an actor at the beginning. But just over time, yeah, just building this career, and now I'm kind of at a place where I can have a little more control, and I could actually do those things that I've always wanted to in terms of representing and telling stories from places that you hardly hear.
And it's interesting, I really love that the way into this story about culture and identity in this film is through food.
Yeah, big part of it, yeah.
Because that is a big way we tell our stories.
Yeah,
Is through food and through cooking. Was that always an important element of the story? Was that gonna be the way in for this family and this couple?
The idea to bring in food came very early on, you know, when we were just kind of talking about what this would be about. And it just made sense for us to have Sasha be this kind of celebrity chef. Nanachka Khan says, she said it in a few interviews, that like food is memories. And a big part, and a lot of this movie is about memories and the past and holding on to the past. And it's reflective of Sasha's journey in terms of identity and culture and you know, the growth of that culture, but also how taking those things could go astray and become the food at Maximal, for example, you know.
Elevated.
This elevated, wild stuff, but then, you know, bringing it back home and the importance of that. Food is key.
Yeah. And seeing a film like this where the cast is just such a broad spectrum of people. I read an interview where you said, because of the way that the film is cast, nobody has to go like, oh, that's the Asian character,
right? I mean, yeah, usually when I'm in something, it's like, oh yeah, that's the Asian friend, or, you know, that's the Asian coworker.
And I read an interview with you where you went out for something where it was like, they looked at you and were just like, okay, like computer geek or...
Oh yeah,
like,
that was in an acting class.
Sex offender? What was that one?
One of them said child molester. It was this acting class where what we did was, like, one of us would sit in front of the class with our back turned and then turn around to the class, and the whole class, their job was to just say the first thing that comes to mind.
And someone said
and child. Yeah, and the lesson was, this is probably the types of jobs that you would get out there in Hollywood, because that's, you know, that's what you represent. And I did that. This is very early on in my acting career, and I did that. And yeah, it was just a barrage of stereotypes, including the child molester
that
one,
is.
Which was like, you know, at the time I was traumatized. I was fully aware of the stereotypes. I knew what was out there, but to actually hear it from my peers and people that I grew to really like during that class, it was eye-opening,
And then that did kind of play, I mean, not the child molester part, but you did wind up getting sent out for those kinds of roles. And one of your earliest television roles was the stereotype.
An early pilot, the first pilot I ever did. I did a ton of pilots, and that's part of the reason why I never expected Fresh Off the Boat to go past pilot, because none of the pilots I did went to series. But the very first one was, it was this... neighbor character that was like the only person of color in the show, and he was kind of the nemesis of the show, and this flamboyantly stereotypically gay character, you know, at the time I was like, gosh, I don't, you know, I was broke, I was just starting out, I kind of saw ways to humanize this character, and I basically convinced myself that I could do this with some dignity, and we did the pilot, and it was great fun. But afterwards, I was like, oh gosh, if this thing gets picked up the series and becomes a successful show, this character will mark my career, you know. And thankfully, it didn't get picked up the series. Yeah.
And now you're a romantic leading man.
Yeah.
Now you're the romantic leading man.
Yeah, so which is wild.
That's very cool.
It's very cool. Yeah.
And, you know, as Notch said, it's like now we don't have to have the process of trying to convince a studio or a director that Ali Wong is a leading lady.
A leading lady, yeah.
Because now we have the precedent, and that helps the next person who comes along.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we at least for me, being a leading man, I don't think it would have happened had we not written it, you know, because I certainly wasn't getting those offers.
I was going to say, you're not getting those scripts sent to you.
Yeah, and it's, and I don't, you know, I don't know how much of it is just, is because of the racism in the industry, or because I'm just, you know, I'm not like 7 feet tall and you know, super, I'm no Henry Golding, you know. but
oddly, it's oddly specific.
Well, he's a beautiful
he
man.
Is very, he is extremely.
Yeah, he's a beautiful man. And but it's like now I get to be a part of that you know, that elite few.
You're like, now you're in the Pantheon, man. You're in the Pantheon. So speaking of the Pantheon, I got to see the movie completely fresh. I had no idea what was going to happen in it. I had no idea of any of the twists and turns. And I have to say, it blew my mind because you have in this film a cameo that now is kind of out of the bag.
Oh, yeah.
With the biggest Asian heritage American star in the world, right?
I'd say so.
Can we talk a little about that?
Of course,
like,
we can.
Because it's, I did not realize, I didn't even think about it until after I read some of the press about this, that it was really important to have an Asian actor in that.
Yeah, I mean, it was particularly important to Ali. She wanted all of the love interests of Sasha to be Asian American, and which is so just one of the many reasons why Ali is just so amazing. She wanted to do something different. And we thought, okay, well, this is a period in the script where where Marcus is about to confess his love for Sasha. What would be Marcus's worst nightmare? And, you know, super iconic, famous, successful, gorgeous, but also extremely talented and a great actor, but also someone who can do comedy really well, and also someone who's willing to poke fun at themselves. And Keanu was our dream get. We thought there's no way we would get him. I mean, what are the chances? You write, you know, a script and you have Keanu playing Keanu, and there's no way.
And he was also doing John Wick, like, at the time.
He was shooting John Wick 3 during our movie. You know, our great producers and executives at Netflix, they were like, let's reach out. It's worth a shot. And we reached out, and I still can't believe it happened.
What is it like writing for him playing himself? Like that, I would just crap myself.
Well,
it was terror.
I mean, writing it was super fun because we were living in a fantasy world, you know, like, that was fun. It was the actual, like, when it came down to trying to get him, that's where it was like, oh, well, it's fun writing it, but let's be prepared to rewrite this for someone else, you know? And, but he got it. He, like, got it right away. And he was, he wanted to be a part of it and
fully committed.
Yeah, like, during a window in his John Wick 3 shooting, he came to San Francisco, shot with us, those 4 days of production were all overnight shoots. So he was up all night with us doing these scenes. He was game. He came with improvisations and alt lines and so many ideas that eventually made it into the movie.
That's
and
amazing.
Yeah, and he's just so great.
It's really, really cool. So before I let you go, I have to just say one thing to you. I have to confess one thing. I have had an earworm in my head for the last like 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And it's because of you. Uh-huh. That song over the closing credits, which people are talking about.
I know. They're writing think pieces about
really,
it.
Really, like, yes, people are doing hot takes on that. But that was not originally intended to be in the film at all.
No, that came later. The band had two songs in the movie, which you see in the movie, and you don't hear them in full. But it came in post production. Once we had a cut of the film, an executive at Netflix was like, "Well, we end the movie on a line about Marcus." Sasha says, maybe you should write a song about punching Keanu Reeves because my character just can't get over it and I keep mentioning it. And Tendo, one of our executives, was like, why don't you guys record that song? We'll put it over the end credits. And we were like, oh, that's a great idea. So we got to work, and it now you hear that song in full. It's the only song you hear in full. throughout the entire movie. And it's great because for me, it's like a tribute to him.
And it's a hit. Now you have to like restart your music career.
Oh gosh, no.
Randall Park, thank you so much for joining us.
You.
The movie again is called Always Be My Maybe. This show, of course, is fresh off the boat,
right.
Starting season 6 this fall. Thank you so much. It's
been
a pleasure.
Thank you. That was so fun.